Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
And he destroys this one to right center field. Alonso has tied the game. Two-run home runs in the inning. And it didn't work out. Juan Soto, first pitch base hit, and just like that, the Mets take the lead.
They got him tonight. I think it's, you know, you think about the guys that run out there. It goes Nimmo, really good player, to Lindor, who gets him. You know, then Soto kind of flips one in softly, and then boom, Pete Alonso hits a slider that's down and away and hits it over the fence. So those are really good hitters. They've done that to a lot of people. Fastball jumping out of his hands, A, and B, I think the split was good. I mean, he threw some good ones. And then in the six, I think that was the first time he's had six ups this year. I think his most was five, and I think right around 70 pitches. So he was cruising right there for the fifth.
Any loss is disappointing, especially, you know, tonight was a battle back and forth like that. At bats were pretty good, you know, against some good pitching, and that one big inning was awesome. It was a battle. It's baseball.
It stings, there's no doubt. It feels the same way as the one we lost in Tampa. You know, the eight-run thing is the same feeling. It doesn't feel good. I think you constantly go back to your preparation, your process. Did we do everything right? Did we get the guys in the right spot?
That's Tony Manzalino, Orioles interim skipper. That was last night after the Birds lose a tough one. And that was a tough out, man, because they got the momentum rolling in their favor. They had won three in a row, swept the Braves. Got a brilliant start for Brandon Young, and we heard Manzalino talking about him commanding the zone. The velo was up a couple miles. He threw 96 miles an hour last night. Had the immaculate inning, first one by an Orioles since Kevin Gausman, going back to 2018. But Ryan O'Hearn feeling the sting. He had the big double to put the Orioles back ahead after the Mets had taken that two-one lead. And then it just all kind of imploded on Baker, who's been great this year. I mean, Baker made the team coming out of Sarasota in large part due to the fact that Kittredge was hurt. Andrew Kittredge, who's now back and pitched last night. Batista was dealing in a big way. But Brian Baker has been one of the more reliable guys, a guy that we talked about as a possible all-star a few weeks ago. Kind of imploded. There was no one warming up in the bullpen as the Mets had that uprising. And you heard Alonso, Kevin Brown Massett on the call as Lindor and Alonso go deep, two-run homers, tie the game. But it's kicking short ones because you're chipping away. You're playing better. We talked about yesterday morning, 23-15 since the Fenway game two, and you really haven't gained any ground. You got to within six a couple weeks back. Teams like Cleveland, Boston, Kansas City, Minnesota have struggled. You're not catching them. You're just kind of, you're on the treadmill. At least on a treadmill, you're burning stuff. You're accomplishing goals. This is more like you're treading water. You're trying not to drown for the Birds. So in a season of frustrating losses, and Tony Manzalino mentioned the 8-0 blown lead against Tampa a few weeks back, game in which Trevor Rogers pitched, got squeezed. I mean, we don't want to harken back on that one. But here they are again, looking victory in the face, and all of a sudden they look in the mirror, and it's an ugly case of defeat. 10 games under 500. Now you try to win tonight and even the series, weather permitting. 7:05 because it's on ESPN. By the way, just if you're trying to get to the playoffs, and Gunnar said before the game, hey, man, we're going to chip away and eke in, and maybe we can squeeze into that third wild card. I'll say it. Want it to happen. I'd love to buy a 2025 Oriole postseason hat. Actually, I've made a moratorium on that. The next one I'm buying better have World Series on it because I've got like 50 of those. But you get the point. I'd love for them to get to the postseason because then the air quotes, anything can happen. But you can't afford to lose these games. And then in the ninth inning against Brazoban, I'm not diminishing this guy. You know, he's a Major League Baseball player. But you got a guy on second, Jackson Holliday, with wheels. Westberg, K. Gunner, pop out. Ben O'Hearn, hard grounder, but ground ball nonetheless. And don't even get the guy in the scoring position. And I get it. You got your thumpers up there. You're not giving away. And I agree with it. You're not bunting.
Right.
Because Westbrook can get a two-run homer or hit one in the gap, and who knows where it goes from there. But he did. So situational hitting, which the Orioles have gotten better at. Hey, they were 4-for-10 last night. In the ninth inning, though, Rockabacco wrote about this on Masson this morning. I mean, they're terrible in the ninth inning. The batting average and production, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they're one of the worst teams in baseball and come from behind wins. But that was a painful one. And we look at this, half joking. You're Mike Elias with every passing loss. Available.
Right.
No doubt.
Available. Oh, we just lost. Available. And you know the free agent guys are certainly going to be on the table. And unfortunately, Ryan O'Hearn, who just made the All-Star team, is going to be one of them. Cedric Mullins. We know the guys. But this faint hope, Nolan, you can get in here on this one as well. To me, it's been faint for a while. But a loss last night. Now, if they win the next two games, and who knows what Cleveland or we get into this absolutes after one game in series. And even I made the mandate to myself. Can't judge until series are over. It's not football. You lose one game, you stew for a week. Baseball, you look at the series in totality. But if you're trying to win this series, that one was one that slipped away. And it was painful. And the final out's recorded, and you're sitting there going, what the hell happened here?
Yeah,
Brandon Young was outstanding, by the way. So tip of the cat to you, kid.
I thought this, I thought when they lost that game, it was like a gut punch. And afterwards, I said to myself, game, set, match. I said, that was a killer. That one, going from 8 to 10. I mean, that was a 2-game swing.
Yep.
I felt like that one, they're done.
But I had hope in the 10th,
yeah,
which was fool's gold.
I think, once Soto, first pitch it might have even been, but leadoff single there to just bring home Lindor, that was the moment for me, even though the heartbreak of the 8th with the back-to-back two-run homers. That in the 10th there, just the instant, all right, they're up. That, it felt like it was over. Even though you knew the Orioles still had a chance to bat, based on the way things went quietly in the 9th, you just kind of knew. I was like, this is it. And as heartbreaking as it is, as frustrating as it is, I don't even know if I could say that that's a top 5 heartbreaking loss for the Orioles this year. We've been through this way too many times, which is why after a sweep of the Braves over the weekend, call it fool's gold, call it whatever you want, but how many times this year have we had a series like that or a stretch like that where you're like, all right, they opened the door. They're going to assert themselves. They're going to re-enter the party, whatever you want to say. This is it. This is the start of something. And almost instantly, every time they step on the rake, it comes up, it whacks them in the face, and it's the same thing every time. Realistically speaking, even though they swept the Braves, you probably had to go 5-1 or 6-0 the rest of this week heading into the All-Star break to actually feel like we got a legit shot coming out in the second half. Well, lefty on the mound, it's not happening.
Peterson not tonight. Yeah. And look, you talk about stepping on the rake. What's that, Foghorn Leghorn? Anyone always stepped on the rake?
I was thinking Sideshow Bob.
Sideshow Bob or Barney Rubble. Somebody always ran into it. Usually someone of the hapless persuasion, with all due respect to Barney Rubble, because I thought he was a cool character. Back on the Flintstones. They moved to within a half a game of the Indians, or Guardians, excuse me, after Sunday. Now they're 2 games, because Cleveland's won 2 in a row, and I mean, you got to start to percolate. And everyone they're chasing. Boston's won 5 in a row. Texas is, they're 5-5. They won last night. Kansas City's now won 3 straight. Minnesota won last night. They're 5-5. Angels are now in Scuffle City, but the Orioles are 3.5 games behind them. There's all these teams you're chasing that are like them. They go through these periods of, all right, we got it. And Mike Bordick said last night, Nolan, you were there on BBT. Everybody, there are a lot of teams that think like the Orioles that were still kind of in it.
Right.
And then reality strikes them in the face. And last night, Laureano getting picked off at third. I mean, come on. I mean, how many base running gaffes? And he's been brilliant. Look, this guy's been a stud. Not going to nitpick. But you ran yourself out of an inning there. You're in scoring position. It's just there are these little things they do. Now, to their credit, that 10th inning for the Mets, they could have blown that thing wide open. And the Orioles managed to navigate that, only giving up that one run. But I'm going to disagree, Nolan, to a certain extent, because that's the most recent loss. So that one, that could have been a four-game winning streak. Now you're trying to win the series tonight. Now you got to win the next two. Weather's going to suck tonight. Got a day game tomorrow. It's just, it's Sagano's pitching, who's been brutal.
Yeah, the recency, that's, I guess, the whole point is that, sure, it's brutal until what, this weekend? They lose in heartbreaking fashion at least one of these games against the, it's going to happen.
Marlins have won 11 straight road games, by the way.
Whoa.
Yeah, so let that sink in.
It's going to happen. There's going to be at least a handful more of these kinds of losses this year. It's just who this team is. I'm sorry, I can't put it ahead of a 24-2 blowout against the Reds. I can't put it ahead of the 8-run debacle against the Rays a couple weeks ago. Even the game that got Hyde fired, where they had a billion hits but couldn't score a run. I mean, just there has been so many of these games, and I'm forgetting probably half a dozen more.
Well, they've got, they got 50 of them. That was their 50th loss last year.
I'd say at least 10 of them have been of this variety.
So are they back? Or are we revisiting this one?
Not back today. Tomorrow, different story.
How about Baker last night? He throws 11 strikes out of 15 pitches. Didn't get an out and had four hits and four runs.
Yeah, who had been outstanding?
No doubt. No doubt.
And everyone, Manzolino, was like, hey, they were on him. And I'll disagree with old Manzo there. That was a hanging slider to Alonso. It wasn't deep in the corner, and he just, I mean, that thing was belt level. It's like, please, a home run derby level slider for old Pete Alonso. But anyway, Orioles lose 7-6, 10 innings. They're back to 10 games under 500. They've been on this 12-9 game kind of, we're in it, we're not. Right now, they're not. Quite frankly, you haven't been. But if they win the next two games, then we're back on the bandwagon. So it all depends on what happens tonight at 7:05. You want to get an event, you can at 410-583-1057. We're 2 weeks from today. Training camp 2025.
Yeah.
2 weeks from the first official practice, right?
Yep. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Over to the media o'clock. And then the fans, you can go and check out the Raven sent out a press release and read about it and get some free tickets. Now, what's this construction looking like? Because the old Bobster's actually trying to get out there one day.
Construction, Bob, the problem with the construction, if you're on the practice fields looking at the building, you know, like where the players go in and all that.
Harbs does his press conference and all that.
Yeah, they don't do that. That's all under construction.
Oh.
They're cool. Because remember when the Ravens on the report card that the players responded to, I guess they didn't like the locker room. So the bigger locker room, they're changing a lot of stuff in that building.
Really?
And let me just say this, Bob, the parking there must be 300 construction workers out there because there is no parking whatsoever.
So how's that going to work in 2 weeks?
Well, what they did, because they had some season ticket holders come into like mini camps and stuff, they bussed them in. They parked over and then had these buses come over.
How's the media?
Oh, you know where, like, you make that, the roundabout type thing, you know, where you go to go out?
Yeah.
You park it on right there in that roundabout area. You know, like where Bisciotti's car spot is.
I'll park right next to him then.
Basically, you are. You are. But they're supposed to be done, you know, by the start of training camp. We'll see.
All right. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, 410-583-1057. As the show progresses, we're going to talk to Cordell Woodland, top of the hour, about the Orioles and Ravens. We're going to break down some more year two guys.
Yep.
Got Tez Walker. We know. Nate Wiggins, hey, expectations extremely high, but maybe Tez Walker could get in. And Bill Barnwell, I don't know if you guys saw this or ladies listening, rated the top Audrey offense in the NFL by running back, quarterback, skill positions.
Mm-hmm.
Think you'll be surprised where he has the Ravens. You'll be surprised, so stick around. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan, Orioles lose last night. We're all kind of pissed here on the fan. Now game two tonight, Tomo Sugano, who's been bad.
Oh, Yep.
He looks tired. There's the spin rate's down. There's all sorts of things going on with him that suggest that, not saying he's not healthy.
He looks old.
Yeah, he's, what, 35, 36 years old? Orioles even pushed him up a day to give him the 6 days rest, which he was used to pitching in Japan, and the results remain the same. And this is a lot of pronged dilemma for the Birds. First and foremost, he stinks. The Orioles puts him at a disadvantage trying to win a ball game because you're digging deep into your bullpen. He's not getting through the fourth or fifth inning. That's kind of been a problem. And it hurts his trade value. Because if he was pitching now, like he was in the first couple months of the season, he'd be a very attractive back-of-the-rotation piece for a contending team, because a lot of contending teams are going to be looking for starting pitchers here. So he's got to get it together to some level. Now, are we confident it happens tonight against the Mets, who for the season haven't been all that great offensively? But as of late, they have been.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the bats bust out last night late against the Orioles. And then Peterson, I'm going to say soft tosser, throws low 90s, ground ball guy. But he's effective. And the Orioles have struggled against left-handed pitching this year. So it was a tough gig last night. And, you know, I still thought they had a chance in the 10th, as I said earlier. And they let it slip away.
Yeah, when
quietly into the Camden Yards night, when all the loudmouth New Yorkers were there popping off. Nolan, real quick before we get to the phones, were you agitated by those people putting their beers on your case last night? It was annoying me at Pickles.
I didn't even see out behind me.
Oh, I was side-eyeing this guy. And I didn't even have any beers in me last night.
I know.
But I was just like,
maybe that was the problem.
Yeah. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, at least ask, hey, man, can I put my beer on your stuff? And he wouldn't get out of the way. I mean, you got to move.
Yeah, it is a bar. That's what I always tell myself. We are in a bar, you know, especially when we're inside. It's a little less wiggle room, but we make do.
Yeah. I'm telling you, white people do whatever they want. And they were doing it last at Pickles Pop.
I did post up under the new AC system.
Yeah. How'd that work?
Try to do us a favor. I felt a difference.
You did? It went from 101 to 99.
Hey, that's something.
Orioles lose, that's the bottom line. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let us start it off today with Bill in Bayview. Bill, thanks for holding. What's happening?
That's okay. Good to talk to you. Great about Vinny's son. I thought that was a plus. On the Orioles, there are so many teams that are directly in front of them. There are only a couple games ahead of them. The hardest one to catch up to is going to be Boston, and then the 16. So they still got a chance. They're hanging. I mean, the Mets aren't that much better than them.
If you look at the standings, the Mets are a lot better than them.
And they hadn't passed anybody in how long?
A couple months.
Yeah. Well, you may be right, but due to last night's game, or comparing last night's game, the Mets aren't that much better. Maybe the division they're in, they got a tough division. But
well, them and the Phillies are the only teams above 500 in that division right now.
Well, and we should be, except
we're not.
We've had a lot of injuries. We have a lack of managers. I'm walking up a hill. That's why I'm breathing so hard.
Well, I think you're reaching, too. Hey, Bill, be careful, man. You're coming up with reasons and making excuses. Oh, look, the Mets are way better than the Orioles right now. The Orioles are the third worst team in the American League, if you look at their record, and have kind of been that team for the better part of 2 months. This isn't a smoke and mirrors. Well, hey, based on last night's game, which the Orioles lost, by the way, they're not that much worse than the Mets. I mean, we're not in moral victory territory here, people.
Right.
We're in real victory territory.
13-game difference. Yeah. That's nothing. Come on, you make that up in a couple days.
And the Mets sucked in June. You know what I mean? So, come on, Bill. I hope you're right. But like you said, These teams aren't all that great.
Well, if you tuned in,
just chasing them.
Just to watch last night. Now, us previewing the game, Brandon Young was not expecting that from him. No. On the other side, Clay Holmes was expecting much better from him. This was a mismatch on paper. Everything about it screamed Mets, Mets, Mets. And then you get into the game and, all right, the Orioles have a 4-run lead heading into the eighth inning. So maybe in that regard, yeah, in that game alone, the Orioles did look like the better team. But overall, it's not even close.
That's why the loss stung, because you could have, air quotes, stole a win against the guy that had had your number in Clay Holmes before. As we go to the break, ESPN, David Schoenfeld, has graded the teams, which we're going to continue to do today, as a matter of fact, individual players. Let's see. There are three Fs. Atlanta.
Baltimore.
Don't spoil it. I'm teasing, Vinny.
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Yeah, well, okay, pipe down. Colorado and the Orioles. The Orioles have a similar record to the Braves, but it played much worse. This is David Schoenfeld, including losses of 24-2, 19-5, 15-3, and two separate 9-0 shutouts. They will spend the trade deadline dealing away as many of their impending free agents as possible and do a lot of soul-searching heading into the offseason. After making the playoffs at 23-24, will this season be just a blip? Editorial commentary, yes. While the pitching struggles aren't necessarily a big surprise, what has happened to the offense and some of their young players? Prospects or suspects? So there you go. We said it yesterday with Mike Elias. He put that team together. Now, they have not had their full complement of players. The team he envisioned has never played together at all, certainly for an extended period of time. But results are the results. But as I said, and I'll continue to say, Toronto Blue Jays won their 10th straight game last night. Toronto had an Orioles-like 2024, the bad kind. And they're in first place in the division. The Orioles next year are going to be where the Blue Jays are this year. Mark it down. Agree or disagree? And it looks like there could be an uprising of U.S. Taylor Fritz is doing well. Unless he lost yesterday, I don't know. But anyway, Shelton taking on the number one seed, so we'll keep you up to date on the score of that one. Let's get out to the phones where we start grading Orioles. Orioles just got an F from David Schoenfeld, rightfully so. Go to Josh at Parkville. Josh, what's up?
How you guys doing today?
Good.
Good.
I just wanted to call in right before you guys went to break. Bob, I heard you talk about how the Blue Jays had a really disappointing 2024 season. And I really do think this is a blip. When you have this young core of great talent coming through the ranks and like kind of playing together, I think people kind of forget like the growing pains of baseball and like the ups and downs of like a career. And pretty much everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong with the injuries, the pitching staff. But most of the pitching staff should come back next year or even probably later this year with Bradish coming back. But I feel like with just a few signings in the offseason of pitching, like you have, I know Zach Allen's a free agent, Cease is a free agent. And I know they're kind of having not the greatest years, but anything was better than what we brought in this past year, which we kind of swung and missed on almost every single free agent, except Laureano, who's been a fantastic signing so far. And I know Morton's turned the corner, and that's been great. And then I heard you talk about Zagano, who's kind of looking older, kind of tired, and it's kind of to be expected by a 35-year-old pitcher that hasn't really pitched on 5 days in his career until this late in his career. But I really do think this could be just a blip, and then you can kind of just turn the corner because baseball is pretty easy when it comes to kind of revamping. And like one, you could have a really good offseason and get right back into contention with this young core, another year under their belts with Jackson playing fantastic, Gunnar being a great shortstop. We just got to keep Westy healthy. And Calder, he's always good for 25, 30 home runs if he can stay healthy and hopefully lay off that changeup in the dirt but and just hunt fastballs all day and kind of stay ahead in the count. But, yeah, that's all I just wanted to say. I think this is going to be just a blip. I think we'll look back in a few years and be like, you know, this is probably a good growing pain to see, kind of look yourself in the mirror and hopefully get Allie back soon and do some damage next year. All right, I just want to hang up. We're going to hang up now and – thanks for taking my call.
Hey, I'm with you 100%. And Toronto went out and spent a bunch of dough. last couple of seasons, too. They got Springer. They signed Kevin Gausman, former Oriole, among others, to pre-agent contracts. They did extend Vlad Jr., which is going to be huge. That's another thing, maybe, to keep an eye on this season, is what offseason, is what Elias is going to do with possibly extending some of the younger players. Gunner's going to be tough because it's a...
Who do you extend?
Well, he's number one.
Right. No doubt.
Yeah. Holiday. Look, I'm not done on Adley. I mean, it's funny that everybody's talking about him like he's some scrub that just fell into the trash heap. I mean, this guy's been a stud throughout his career, no matter whatever level he's played at. And just as he was starting to get it together, got hurt. So I'm still keeping him as a long-term piece. A little bit older, might not have to go to the 5-10-year extension level with him. But when he comes back, assuming he returns for the second half of the season, I'd like to see 280, maybe 10 bombs, on-base percentage over, or OPS over 800. Then you kind of back to what you had. And then you continue to let him be the anchor, and then more build around him. But they've got to, and to Josh's point, Nolan, get in here. Health aside, well, not aside, assuming, Grayson, Bradish, Wells next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Returning. You got to add to that. Now, Brandon Young, what we saw last night, is that real or is it, you know, fake? Who knows? Maybe he might be best suited for a bullpen role. We're still trying to figure out what you got with Cade Povich. But there are some workable pieces. The bullpen might have to be retooled outside of Felix Bautista because Soto, Dominguez, they're free agents.
Oh, it's going to be retooled.
Cano. Yeah. I mean, he's got Mike Elias. He's got work to do. And money is going to have a lot to do with it. And he's going to have to probably trade some magic beans to add some pieces, too.
And that's exactly why I'm kind of off the long-term extension talk personally. Like, I think it's a futile conversation anyway because it's not going to happen for a lot of these Boris guys. And Adley, who wasn't a Boris guy, was already in a tricky situation just because of his age in terms of what do you pay him. Sure, he's a catcher, but there wasn't really a comparable catcher contract just because of his skill set. It was always a complicated picture. Now with the situation they're in, I don't care about 10 years from now. Fix this now. Get this back on track so we can actually win next year. And as you said, it's not as simple as, oh, sign one or two pitchers, we're good to go. Realistically here, we need quite the overhaul.
And look, it's not an overhaul and a rebuild traditional phase because the core is still really talented. They've got to add pieces for sure. And we were talking about it last night on BBT, as you recall. Hey, Basayo, he should be up now, in my opinion. Certainly should be up by the start of August. I'm 60. I don't give a crap about service time. Get his ass up here.
Yeah.
And let's start mashing away and see what he brings to the equation. Because Jackson Yeh was the sixth overall pick in the draft 11 years ago, and Stallings won a gold glove 4 years ago. They need to really get this thing. Let's see what Basayo can do. Holiday came up before he was ready, and we saw the results. Apparently, the hit tool for Basayo is more advanced than even Jackson Holiday was last year. So bring her down, bring her on home.
Yeah, I would think another thing that Elias needs to do this offseason, they need to do extremely deep research on why so many injuries. If the, you know, because there's so many young guys.
Well, they just redid the entire training staff.
It didn't work. You know, because they've got more guys. You know, I mean, if I'm the owner, I'm asking, why are we getting so many young? Why are my young guys getting hurt so much?
Is it more of oblique thing? I mean, Cows are sliding hammies. In. I mean, that Westberg sliding in, somebody getting plunked. I mean, you can't control that. That's just part of the baseball landscape. But others?
Yeah. I would say, Bob, you got to evaluate what we do at training camp because we get so many guys hurt early on. You know, are we doing, you know, why is Gunner getting hurt, you know, and all these guys, are they not coming in shape? What? You know, I mean, to me, those are questions. That's what I would ask if that was, you know, like, look what the Ravens did when they had all those guys hurt. You know, why did we get guys hurt? And, you know, and they went back and they got rid of the strength coach. They did this. They changed how they did things. And, you know, they got, when you have all this, you got to look at everything.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take your phone calls. We will start grading the Orioles. We're going to talk pitchers here. Some good, some bad, some were good, some aren't good right now. We'll get into all of that. Orioles got an F, by the way, from David Schoenfeld overall from ESPN.com. Cordell Woodland, talk Orioles and Ravens with him. Whip around 11:15. And then Richard Skinner, WKRC in Cincinnati. Talk about the Bengals. If there's a threat to the Ravens in the AFC North, they appear to be the team. And then Richard Skinner from WKRC, Channel 12 in Cincinnati. Talk about the Bengals. Is Trey Hendrickson going to be at training camp in a couple of weeks? We shall see. Let's get out to the phones. Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
What's going on, Bob and Vinny?
What's up?
Hey, not much, man. If I get to that disappointing loss last night, you know, I was optimistic, man, you know, because like I was telling Vinny and Bruce on Monday, I was down in Atlanta, you know, seeing them get that sweep, man. You know, well, I almost seen them get the sweep. Because game three on that Sunday with the 11:30 start, I don't know who the hell does that, you know, by the way, you know. But, yeah, like, you know, I was like, I'm going to stop and get me a broom, you know, represent, you know, I know we're going to win today. Rogers is on the mound. I get to the gate, and they say, hey, you can't bring it in there. I'm like, what you mean I can't bring a broom in? I see it all the time on TV. People got brooms in the stadiums and everything. They say, no, it's against our policy. And the guy, like the usher guy, ticket guy, attempted to take it. I'm like, don't snatch my broom, man. Like, whoop this broom would have accidentally hit you upside the head, man. You know, so, of course, he took it as a threat and then told the cop guy over there, the Cobb County Sheriff, and they said, you can't come in. So I wound up watching them get the sweep. At a nice little bar right
there. Wait, hold on. How many beers do you have in here? Was this sober? Just don't take me.
I was sober.
How much you pay for the broom, first of all?
It was about $20 at Target, man. $20 broom. Please, yeah, but, I'm like, man.
But come on, man. When in Rome, you do what you're supposed to do. If you're in Atlanta, you do what the protocol is at the stadium.
But you know you can't bring brooms in, don't you? I see brooms all the time in stadiums. I mean, maybe take the thing to tell
you, I think there's a reason they got rid of Bat Day because you know people. Yeah. A broom could
I
be
love the Bat Day.
Yeah, I mean, but you could use a broom and wreak havoc if you know, like Steven Seagal, he could take a broom and kill 40 people. If he would.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know,
I feel no compassion for you. As a matter of fact, that's the one you. That's an L. Rashawn. Sorry.
I'm glad it wasn't Dustin with the broom. He would have been drunk, and that broom would have been up somebody's. You know what? Yeah, right. You know,
maybe he'll be in Atlanta.
Yeah, but yeah, man, disappointing loss last night, man. Like that was I think that loss was most disappointing than that Tampa loss when we was up 8-0 that day when Rogers just pitched a couple weeks ago. But like, what is y'all opinion on this? We got five picks in this draft, right? I think they should go all pitching. You know, forget all this position player stuff and the best player available. Like, no, it's this guy I've been checking out named Gage Wood, right? Yeah. Right-handed pitcher from Arkansas, man. He threw a 19-strikeout complete game in the College World Series. So he's projected to go at number 22.
Yeah, and we were talking about him last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be there in that 19 range. But it appears as though if you believe the mock drafts, that the Orioles are going to stick to their profile of going up the middle, athletic, hit tool-y kind of players who get positional versatility ultimately. But they got to start looking at not high school guys. If you're picking number one and the guy's coming out like can't miss
David Clyde.
Well, he missed because they put him up right out of high school. But you bring up that, you draft that guy like Bundy was. Oh, so many years ago. Then he got hurt. There's the risk with those guys. But they got to start drafting guys that could come out of the collegiate ranks and be ready to rock and roll within a year or two because there's no positional depth. I mean, Brandon Young, who knew who the hell he was 6 months ago? Braxton Bragg. You know what I mean? Nobody knows. They just kind of come out of nowhere. Draft a dude. They get this thing rolling here. You're stockpiled with outfielders at the yin-yang. And shortstops, let's start addressing the obvious need in the system, starting pitching.
Like, listen, now I want the Orioles.
I'm an idiot. I know that.
Listen, I want the Orioles to have a pitching staff like the Braves had in the 90s, man, with Steve Avery, John Smoltz.
Yeah, so with the Braves.
Greg Maddux. You know, like, just start drafting pitchers, man. You know, I want an elite pitching staff, man.
Stop, well, they traded for Smoltz, you know what I mean? And like, Glavine took his beatings as a young player. Rashawn, thanks for the call. Stay out of trouble, man, next time you go out. Let's go. I'm going to take a broom in. We know we don't allow brooms. What if you take and I accidentally hit you in the head with it? Man, what do you think's going to happen? Come on, man.
Should have just said I'm here to help the janitor staff. This place is filthy. Clean it up.
I haven't seen a broom at Camden Yards. Do they have brooms?
I feel like Rashawn's right. Every once in a while, the Masson cameras and a sweep would catch some fan. But maybe it's like a plastic broom. I don't know.
Yeah, but bat day, I mean, one of the things that was a staple at Memorial Stadium when I was growing up, and I guess the Met for you, they were Adirondack bats.
Yes.
Always. Had the little circle down by the, they were great. And helmet day. So you needed helmet day because you had bat day. And not because you were going to bash somebody upside the head at a plastic helmet, because it kind of all worked together. Now you get Hawaiian shirts. There's this Magnum PI around here. And by the way, let's go to double X eventually, Orioles. No, you know, some of us are muscular. We can't fit in, like Nolan. I mean, Nolan, I mean, double X fits in like Zeno used to wear two small t-shirts. Yeah. But double X for us girthy guys. So anyway, we'll come back, talk to Cordell Woolen about the Orioles and the Ravens, whip around on M15, and then we'll talk Bengals with Richard Skinner. Bill Barnwell did the best offenses by position players. Cincinnati rated highly. Matter of fact, better than the Ravens. We'll get into that as well.